Me and the Wolf podcast.
Hello, hello.
We had some technical difficulties. We are 12 minutes late for any of you that might have been waiting. We were planning on updating and upgrading and going live on three platforms at once. But after trying for about 10 minutes, we realized that it may be beyond our reach this evening. So
that's very kind of you to say it that way, Tim. What he means is it was operator error on my behalf that I couldn't figure it out.
So anyway, I'm excited about this. I've been using B.live, which is what we're using right now. In fact, I think there's a little B.live icon on the screen when you watch the replay. I bought a subscription to StreamYard, which allows you at the level I bought to stream three platforms at once. And so our plan is to go live. I thought you could do more than three, so we may have to pick and choose. Certainly on Facebook like we are, YouTube, when YouTube gets approved. And then the third one, what would the third one be? I got a Twitch account because they're connected to Twitch, and I've never had a Twitch account before. And then Twitter, set up a Twitter account, which is Periscope. Well, theoretically, I was going to go live on five platforms. Instagram as well, but that's a whole other level of subscription. Costs more money. Everything costs more if you want more, right?
Absolutely.
So I'm not sure, but we need to graduate first to the multiple streams at one time. And ideally, I think it should be YouTube, well, Facebook, of course, YouTube, and Instagram, I would think. Wouldn't you think, Jimmy?
Sure. Instagram's great.
Although you're going to lose points with your sons if we tell them we're no longer on Twitch. Did you tell them what we're going to be doing on Twitch?
No.
Not yet?
Not yet. That will gain me some cool points, though.
But if we're not going to do it, maybe you don't want to tell them that.
It's fascinating how much the world revolves around gaming.
Yeah. Do you know that the Twitch, for those of you who may not be aware, is primarily a site where people watch other people play video games, if I'm not mistaken. There are people making six figures, I mean, maybe even seven figures a year on Twitch, but they play it like 12 hours a day, and people tune in and give tips and to watch someone else to play competitive video games. And, you know, they have to be funny. They have ad libs, and they talk to their – they can't just be a boring – they could be a really good gamer, but if they don't have a good personality, they're not going to succeed. I learned a little bit about it from my nephew, Daniel, who loves to watch Twitch. But it's become more than that. I mean, Amazon Music has connected – you can connect your Amazon Music account to a Twitch account because they're both owned by Amazon. So Twitch is becoming more than just a streaming app, a video playing.
Yep.
So musicians are going on there as well to play live shows. And I wouldn't rule out Amazon. I mean, Amazon is, you know, when you talk about Spotify versus Apple as far as streaming wars, and YouTube is going after it. But Amazon too has streaming. So which streaming platform is going to win out? These are big behemoths that are fighting it out. And if you say streaming don't matter, and you only listen to music on either downloads or CDs or vinyl, then you are in the minority, because over 80% of the revenue, recorded music revenue, that was a couple of years ago, 80%. It's probably up to 85%.
Yeah.
From streaming. Streaming is the future.
It absolutely is, man. And that's a mindset with some musicians that kind of refuse to do the streaming thing. You know, there's a lot of guys my age or a little bit older that say, well, I'm not doing that. I'll just cut a CD. You know, it's physical copies, and they're missing out on so much.
Well, I always say, where are you going to play it? I mean, they don't put CD players in cars anymore. I mean, I haven't bought a new car. My newest car is a 2011. My Benz is a 2011, and it has a CD changer in it. But I very much doubt that a 2021 model Mercedes would have a CD player in it. I can't believe that it would. Well, maybe Mercedes would, because it tends to be older clientele. But the average car, I don't think has.
No, I was stoked to find out that the work truck has a tape player in it.
But that's a 2005, 2006?
I think it's maybe 2001, if I remember right. But I was stoked when I saw a tape player, because I had a bunch of these great old tapes that I hadn't, not only had I not listened to them for a long time, I didn't even have a way to listen to them for a long time. And now I'm like rocking out to all this great old stuff in the work truck. And I don't notice a dip in the quality, man. When I listen to it, to my ears, it's just as good.
Could be. Yeah. There is a resurgence in tapes, actual cassette tape sales, based on what I have read. Not nearly as a resurgence in vinyl. Vinyl is over 1 million units sold a year, which is a big deal for vinyl.
I've read that there's kind of like a shortage of the people that know how to work in it, as far as the manufacturing process of vinyl, getting the music pressed on the vinyl.
Yeah, I think there's a shortage of manufacturing capacity, because if you're a super fan of a band, the ultimate merch item to get is a special limited edition vinyl item, you know, with a special fold out and everything. Probably costs $40 a copy, you know, and there's a market for that. You know, if you love a certain band, you're a super fan of a band, or someone who is a super fan of a band will often want to do that if they have a play to play at home. So yeah, vinyl is surging. In fact, vinyl has overtaken CDs as far as, there are more vinyl sales than there are CD sales.
Wow.
In this country.
I didn't know that. Jimmy rocking out the Grand Funk cassettes.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing, buddy? We switched the time just so you could join us, Jeff.
You're a thoughtful guy, Tim.
Yeah, I've got a conflict now at noon, or at, the time we were doing it. So I think hopefully we can settle on this time.
And yeah, I think so, man.
We're going to try to expand it. And we've been pretty consistent. If anyone wants to listen to us on your typical podcast channel, like, we have been remiss for the past 5 months. We've been continuing to do lives on Facebook, but we have not been uploading to the podcast area. You know, wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it's Spotify podcasts or Apple podcasts or all the places you can, all the sandwich have been delivered for today. Good deal. So we're trying to get caught up with that. We've got our VA working on that.
Yeah, and then we found out that a bunch of people had downloaded it.
Yeah, even though we hadn't paid any attention to it.
Yeah, we were just doing it.
And he logged into the app in 5 months, and I logged in a few days ago, and thank you, whoever you are, fans, thank you for enjoying our banter. We value you and appreciate you, and hope that we give you some value, that you come back and that you enjoy our what we're doing. Anyway, yeah, there was a spike in viewership or listenership over the last 30 days, and we hadn't posted anything in 5 months. I'm like, whoa, yeah. Something good is happening here.
Right. Too busy doing them to pay attention to.
So we're going to get all caught up, just download like 5 months worth, which would be almost 20. I think we might have missed 1 or 2 weeks, but if it was 4 a month, that would be 20 podcasts, roughly, round number, to get caught up. And then we're also going to load the videos on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, Jimmy D and the Wolf. So, and then I really think we should be going live on Instagram. Does anyone have Instagram, you can go up to 8 hours live, so we can do a full-length Instagram live. And I know you can do a full-length YouTube live. So
how long does Facebook go?
Well, I know it goes at least 4 hours, because Nick Dimon, I watch him every Saturday morning, and he goes for 4 hours. So if we're doing our 45-minute deal, which we have been 45 minutes, we're not going to run out of time in any of these platforms. It's going to be fine. But whether or not we should expand it beyond those big three is you know, should we, now that we've got a Periscope account on Twitter and we've got a Twitch account, if you
say, I think we should, man.
Well, first somebody's got to figure out their laptop.
Yeah, exactly. The funny thing. The funny thing is, I told the kids, I was like, I got to do a podcast. So the kids go to their room and I started trying to figure it out. And I was like, where are the kids at? I need help. So I saw the article that they did on you.
Oh, thank you.
That was great, man.
Appreciate it.
Very, very well deserved. You want to tell them about the nice write-up that you got?
Well, I did. I did. I've done a few interviews. I hired a PR firm, and they got me some interviews. They got me an interview with was that the Hip Hop Weekly one, or was that the Source? There's also been a Hip Hop Weekly one. That might have been the Source that you are referring to. And then also I did one on. I was fortunate enough to have one on ABC affiliate in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That was a TV interview by Zoom. So I've done some radio interviews. I've done probably, I need to put them all in one spot, probably as many as 10 audio, some articles, some audio. So I've been very fortunate that people have been interested in hearing about my song. It's primarily focused on my song, Born in South Dakota. So, yeah, the Source. Yeah, Jeff says the Source. So thank you, Jeff. So yeah, I'm blessed to have them interview me and write that article and talk about my song, Born in South Dakota. And now, especially, I was thinking about it. I think I was telling, well, my nephew and my sister, Veronica, and her husband were here last night, and we went out to dinner, had a phenomenal meal, kind of our early Thanksgiving meal, because they're going on to his mom and brother's place. And we talked about how, you know, the line of the song, which we wrote together, I was born in South Dakota, don't say I didn't warn you, there's a certain way we do things around here. And not trying to raise any shade, but I think that's especially appropriate now, being that South Dakota is one of the very few states that has not had any kind of lockdowns or distancing requirements. And so now they're saying that the COVID has skyrocketing. Jeff, you're in South Dakota. So what's it like there? Well, that's where you live, but I know you go back and forth between there and Minnesota. And I wonder what the difference is between the two states. I think Minnesota is more of a conventional, you know, some sort of distancing being ordered or being asked for. South Dakota is, well, I mean, I know the governor, Kristi Noem. I've been in her home. I was really good friends with her husband. So South Dakota does things different.
Mm-hmm.
It fits the song. You know, there's a certain way we do things around here. For better or worse, I'm not making a judgment on either way. I don't want to get political on that. But South Dakota's been doing things differently. And supposedly the cases of COVID are skyrocketing in South and North Dakota. The two.
Wow.
Incidences of any state in the union. But here's an interesting thing that I think Seth might have said. You know, even though cases are jumping in the country, our mortality rates have kind of stayed the same. You know, people aren't dying, maybe because they're figuring out how to treat it or this whole COVID thing. Man, I wish it was in our rearview mirror. I'm tired of wearing a mask going out.
Man, this whole year.
You know, I mean, we went to that restaurant, wonderful restaurant. Marie, what the heck name of it? Bullis, Marie Bullis. It's a French restaurant in a house that looks like it's a 100-year-old house. And, you know, yeah, MereBulles. And, you know, the waiter comes over, you know, dressed very nicely. And he's got a mask on, you know, and you're having a dialogue with in a very super nice, no mask guards at the Minnesota South Dakota border, but different flavored in both states. Yeah, that's what I guessed. You know, it's a little different. The culture is a little bit different the mandate, no mandate in South Dakota, and probably a request for some sort of social distancing, or maybe a request for mask, maybe not a law. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, to go to this beautiful high-end French restaurant, actually the Southern cooking French restaurant, and you know, just I love the atmosphere. And here your waiter comes over and he's got to wear a mask. You know,
it's yeah. Like, the weird thing to me is like when you see people and can't tell who the hell they are. When people talk to you, and you know, I've done that a few times at the store or just being out and about. Somebody start talking to me, and I'm like, can't even identify them.
Yeah, it's, and then you smile. You're making a comment like you're making a sarcastic comment, and normally I would smile so they would know that I wasn't angry.
Right.
Making comment, and then I realized they're smiling.
Right. Like most of our communication is out the window without those expressions.
Yeah. You can't see, you know, like I'll say, I pretend like I'm mad. I'm leaving. Or, you know, you try to make humor and you try to smile to make sure they know that you're just making a joke. But they can't see your face. Your
right.
Smile. Now,
how's that affecting little bitty kids that are really just now learning how to communicate? When a lot of their interactions are, they're seeing people with masks, you know, they're seeing this all the time. Instead of even learning what these expressions are.
Good point. Yeah. I wonder what that, I mean, they say those years from what, 2 to 5, you learn more than you learn the rest of your life. The rate of learning from, I don't remember the exact, but up to the age 5, from 2 to 5 or 1 and a half.
Sponges, man.
Yeah. You learn everything. And if those, well, hopefully it'll go away soon.
Lily got the vaccine, I think.
Lily, the company? Eli Lilly? Well, there's talk about that there's vaccines coming. I mean, it sure would be nice, but then they got to deliver them. And there's question. They're not sure. You know, they're only 70%. What was I reading today? 70%. Well, I mean, that's better than what we got. Oh, Crystal says, love you, Jimmy.
Love you too, Sissy. I'm going to see you on Thursday for our law-breaking Thanksgiving dinner with tons of people.
I was on record.
It's official.
Jim says he was napping between 2 and 5. I certainly don't remember it myself, but I mean, they say your earliest memory. I had a friend who told me that he could remember coming out of the birth canal.
Wow.
What's your earliest memory, Jimmy? My earliest memory is when I was in the hospital for tonsillitis. And I guess that was about the age 3. I mean, I don't know what age it was, but I remember being scared to death being in the hospital. That's my earliest memory. And it was whatever date I had my tonsils out, which was around 3, 3 and a half maybe.
My earliest memory is about 3 as well. And my mother didn't believe me. When I told her that I remembered this, my biological parents were both still together. They divorced when I was 4, right as I was turning 4. And I remember Christmas, the year that I was 3, Christmas in 1980. And my sister that's closest in age to me, Becky, she's a year and a half older than me. We got these rocking chairs, and she got a Barbie doll, and I got this Spider-Man doll. And I remembered that, and I told my mother that I remembered it. And the rocking chairs were around for many, many years. And she was like, there's no way you remember that. And I said, yeah, I got a Spider-Man doll. And that's how she knew that I really remembered it, because that thing was long gone. But it's funny how certain memories, you know, stick in your brain like that. And then synopsis takes hold. Like sometimes you'll remember something and remember an entire conversation from whatever sparks that is beyond me. I don't know, but it's interesting how those little wires connect in our brains for us. But that's definitely my earliest memory is about 3 years old.
Well, usually it's traumatic. I mean, obviously I remember being afraid. And I think if I remember right, my mom left the hospital room. Maybe she had to go use the bathroom. Who knows? Maybe she went and got a coffee. And I remember being desperately afraid because I was in this sterile environment with all these doctors and nurses. And that's pretty much all I remember. So, I mean, a catastrophic event will stick in the mind, I think. But yours was a happy event, right? Nothing but happiness.
Well, or maybe I was afraid that my sister got a better present than I did. You know, when you're that age, you just when you're that age, you just hate some of your siblings. Like, I loved some of them, and some of them I just hated them. Like, I just.
How many siblings do you have? I know you've said it before, but you have seven, eight, seven.
Yeah, there's eight of us all together. One's deceased. Okay. So I have six living siblings. But we were close in age, so we couldn't get along. I mean, being a boy and a girl, a year and a half away from each other, we weren't going to get along no matter what. I got along with everybody else, but we were just too close. Now we get along great. I adore my sister. But back then, it was like, it just wasn't going to happen. You know, we were both trying to be the baby, and she was a baby girl, and I was a baby boy. And I couldn't stand her, and she couldn't stand me, and that's just how it was. You know? Kind of vying for attention sort of thing.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
But I loved all the older kids.
Yeah. Well, yeah, memory is an interesting thing. What will pop back. But they say that the negative memories, like when if you go through Tony Robbins, who helps people with coaching and overcoming addictions, and he'll say that negative, you need leverage. He says you need leverage to overcome it. And so negative memories or events or associations are much stronger. Like if you're saying I want to quit smoking. Or use something that's a common one. A lot of people want to quit smoking. And he's told a story about a guy, you know, everybody was saying how he was able to quit. Now, it's probably going to be different for every person, but he tried everything, the patches and maybe hypnosis, who knows, all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't until his 3 or 4 year old daughter, or granddaughter, whichever, maybe daughter, made some comment about, you better quit smoking. You're not going to be here to watch me graduate or something like that. I don't remember the story. Tony told the story. Tony Robbins told the story. And I don't remember exactly the particulars, but I think enough of it that I relaying the message of it was the idea of letting down his little girl was enough leverage for him. That was more leverage than he could muster just by thinking about his own life and longevity. Negative. He had to find, and Tony calls it leverage. Yeah, find some leverage and negative leverage, whether it's wanting to avoid a negative like that, trying to avoid a negative thing, or you had a negative experience and don't want to repeat it, is much strong. You know, it's a stronger. So I guess I'm just going off the fact that you said, or that I said, the negative is usually a much stronger memory than a positive. Because it just, I guess maybe this is where our brains are wired. Our brains are wired to not make us happy, but to keep us alive.
Exactly. To keep us from harm.
Keep us from harm.
And that's why those negative moments have such a profound impact on your memories, you know?
Yeah.
Burnt into your psyche, so to speak.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like playing shows, man. I mean, I've done a ton of shows, and the ones that I remember the most were the worst ones. Like the ones that were just train wrecks and disasters. I could tell you almost now, many years later, I could almost tell you the set list in order to those shows that were just they were just really, really terrible. I have one on a VHS tape. From one of the first bands that I was in, and we were playing a John Lee Hooker song, "Boom Boom," And the guitar goes, dun, 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 dun. And then the bass and the drums go, ba-da-ba-da-da-da-da, right? And the guitar, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
I don't know how we did it, man. I mean, I was like 19 probably. And I've watched the tape many times because it cracks me up. But somehow we all did the lick at the same time, and then nobody answered it. Oh, it gets better. It gets better. It was like a complete disaster. We all did the lick at the same time, and then nobody answered the lick. So apparently all three of us reacted and thought that one of the other guys was going to answer the lick, and then we didn't answer it for a second time in a row. It was like bam, 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 and then nothing, 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 nothing. And then we tried to come back in together.
Or did you get a hi-hat to kind of keep you on
There
beat?
was nothing, man. Just silence, and then we all try to come back in together. And it's classic because I watch it. And what's even funnier than the music is the looks on our, faces, because we were all young and had no idea what we were doing. And we just, it was such a train wreck when we came back in that it just kind of falls apart. And you can see we're all really embarrassed, and our heads are like, But I remember that entire, I could probably name the set list for that entire gig. It's funny how that kind of stuff sticks with you. But pain's a great teacher, and it makes you better, really. And that did make us better, because we
Oh,
never want that to happen again.
you see, look at Jeff's comment. He says, I've heard memories consist of events, good or bad, that weren't totally resolved in the moment. That could be. I
Yeah.
interesting. I don't.
Makes sense.
It makes completely sense. Completely sense. Yeah. Making yourself comfortable there?
I'm trying. It was a little cool in here when I got started, but now jacket's getting a little warm. I've been enhancing my wardrobe. Our local dollar store that's about 20 feet away from my house has been having some pretty great clothing sales. I've been buying flannels and stuff up there for like $4. Dude, I bought this jacket. Check this jacket out. It's nice, man. It's nice and warm. I bought this jacket up here for $6, bro.
Wow.
Dollar store. It's
Hey, how's it going?
better than thrift shopping.
I can see Memphis behind you. Now he's backing up, so he's just out of view. I don't
We
want
can
to
see your face, man.
be
Remember when you were little? Nobody can see me.
Well, the Grammy nominations were announced, and the biggest shocker was that The Weeknd's Blinding Lights was not nominated for Album of the Year. It was, they say, one of the biggest snubs in the history of the Grammys. So, kind of clears the way for, took a right turn on the subject matter. Is that all right? Better than thrift shopping?
Our local dollar store really is, man.
So Taylor Swift has won three, has won two Gram, two Album of the Year Grammys, which is really the ultimate. If you can win Album of the Year, I mean, it's not just Record of the Year or Song of the Year. The big four in the Grammys are the new artist, best new artist, Album of the Year, Album of the Year, Song of the Year, and Record of the Year. Song of the Year is for a single song, the songwriters. Record of the Year is for a single song, the production of it. It doesn't go to the songwriters, it goes to the artists and the producers. But for a body of work, Album of the Year. So I think the top prize is Album of the Year, because you got a whole album. You have to be consistent over a whole album, not just one song. And there are only three people who have won Album of the Year three times. I know that Stevie Wonder has won. I think Frank Sinatra is one. I can't remember the third one, but they're all three men. And Taylor Swift has won Album of the Year twice. And she's not even been nominated for her last two albums. She won Artist of the Decade from the AMAs last year. So, you know, she's one of the top artists right now in the world. And everyone was saying, well, her latest album is Tour de Force, Folklore. And there are people saying that, well, whether she can win it or not, she's probably going to be fighting against The Weeknd, because he's got the best song of the entire year that has been on the charts for the entire year, and that's his lead single on that album. And everyone was saying it's going to be a tough fight when he gets nominated. Well, he wasn't even nominated. It's like saying, you know, you're a wrestler and you go to the state tournament. And there's an undefeated state champion, and all of a sudden you look at the brackets, and there's a mark there where his name is scratched out, and it says,
right. Yeah, he's not even in there.
But my route to the championship is so much easier now. So it's kind of big news. Came out today.
Who'd they nominate instead? Do you know?
I can get to it. And another one shut out was Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan was considered that he would be considered for, he's won it twice. But his album, it wasn't that bad. We listened to it when we were at that your place. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty chill. I liked it.
This year's Album of the Year nominees. Okay, Black Pumas, Coldplay, Jacob Collier, Haim, Dua Lipa, Post Malone, or Taylor Swift, and Jean Eichel. I don't know how to pronounce her name. Jhene Eichel. I know she's in R&B. She's a young black woman in R&B. Black Pumas, nominated. And Coldplay nominated. Jacob Collier, I have to confess, I don't know. Four-time Grammy winner. I have to research him. I don't know who that is. Do you know who Jacob Collier is?
Sure don't. I knew most of the rest of them, though. I think the Black Pumas are awesome.
Yeah, I like them. Oh, you know... Jean, whatever her name was, you know her? I'd be Jean.
I've heard that on my driving.
She was on a big article in the last Billboard. They profiled, I think, five young African American women who were up and coming in R&B, all R&B, and she was one of them profiled. Summer was another one who they thought might get Album of the Year. Nom, but she didn't. Summer Walker was another one in that profile. So they're kind of considered in the same field. Dua Lipa, that is a great album. Future Nostalgia. I'm a huge Dua Lipa fan. Don't show up. I love that song. If you sit still when that is playing, you must be dead.
Yeah.
Hollywood's Bleeding, Post Malone. I think this is his best album because it's much more melodic. He's singing a lot.
That's his sauce, man. That's why I think he's, you know, so prolific. Because he's a great hook writer.
Yeah.
All of his songs are really, I mean, in form, they're really simple. There's not lots of instrumentation in any of that stuff. He just writes great hooks.
He does.
A lot of times, it's just like the drum beat and the synth and him singing, but it's the melodies are great.
He has no live game, though.
Yeah.
We saw him at Bonnaroo, and my nephew waited 2 hours to get up front, and I actually was so disgusted that he left halfway through because Malone came out just by himself. and sang along to the to the tracks that didn't even have the vocals taken out. It's just like, it was the exact track you'd hear on the radio, and he's singing over the top of it and ad-libbing a little bit.
Wow.
No light show, no smokes, you know, no fog, nothing. Just him on a bare stage for an hour and a half, kind of ad-libbing along.
And most people probably thought it was incredible.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was later. I saw him. He was the headliner at the concert. They always have a concert in New York City with the ball drop on New Year's Eve. He was the headliner. He did the exact same thing again. You know, and he holds the mic up to his mouth like this. You can't see, those of you watching on podcast, you have to imagine this, but those of you watching on a video, can you see what I'm actually saying? Am I lip syncing? You really can't tell now, can you? Because the mic is up to my lips. So yeah. You can't really tell. Am I lip syncing, Jimmy? Are you sure? Musing myself a little bit. Thank you for bearing with me. That's what Post Malone does. He has no live game. And I've actually read articles criticizing this. A lot of these young artists that come up that way, like Lil Nas X, who had the biggest song ever in the history of the Hot 100, number one for 19 weeks with Old Town Road. Was that last year? I lose track of time. I
think it was last year.
His first gig in front of people was when he performed at an award show for winning an award for his song. He has no live game. He hasn't done a fraction of the 5,000 gigs that you have, Jimmy. So you refined your live game. Your live game would run circles with one arm tied behind your back against these people.
Well, but
they have they're the stars. So people put up with it. But not everyone. Like my nephew said, that's enough. I'm leaving. He went to go to one of the minor stages to see, I think it was Hobo Johnson over in one of the secondary stages that he wanted to see. Hobo Johnson is a comedic rapper. Guy's pretty funny.
Yeah.
You heard of Hobo Johnson?
Sure.
I've never heard of him.
Interesting cat.
Yeah, yeah. Do you like his stuff?
I think it's all right, man. I mean, I respect it because it's different. He's kind of found his own path.
Yes.
It's not really like, I mean, I wouldn't take an hour drive to it or anything like that.
You know who I want to see before he gets too old to perform? I want to see my hero, my number one influence on guitar, Clapton.
Me too, man.
So he normally plays in Madison Square Garden in September each year. He hates traveling. He hates touring. I guess he can't sleep in hotel rooms. I would like to get tickets if they go on this year. And maybe get a pair of tickets and we can go up there. Because he's in his 70s now, and I don't know. I mean, how many more chances do you have?
Yeah.
You know.
I'd love to see his show too, man. I saw him with the Allman Brothers, but I've never seen him just do his show.
Yeah, I saw that documentary, Laurel Canyon. It's on Netflix. Have you seen that?
No.
It's a documentary. It's done by Bob Dylan's son. Was it Jacob Dylan? Is that his name? Jacob? Mm-hmm. The guy with the Wallflowers?
Yeah. Great band.
Yeah. He was the driving force behind the documentary. And Laurel Canyon, of course, is an area in L.A., greater L.A., or north. I think it's north of city center. And it was a cheaper area to live. And all the musicians live there. Frank Zappa lived there. And all of those 60s cats lived in Laurel Canyon neighborhood. And there was a lot of, you know, they go over each other's house. David Crosby and, the Birds, McGuire, and the Canadian guy with the crazy eyes, Neil Young. And what was one of his first bands?
CSNY.
No, okay, I'm thinking of another band. Stephen Stills, all those guys, all those cats. The Beach Boys, Brian Wilson. And so they had, it was kind of an interesting thing that they had. If you haven't seen it, if anyone likes that kind of music, and they focused in on only like 3 years focused in. And they had, oh, Mamas and the Papas. And they had the only surviving member of the Mamas and the Papas, which was the hot one, the girl that was the hot one. What was her name? Not Mom, the other one. Who was the principal? She married the main guy, the leader of the Mamas and the Papas.
The only one I remember is the Mama Cass lady. I don't.
Who was the lead guy? I've drawn a blank now. Phillips. Phillips, because the daughter was in Wilson Phillips. Last name was Phillips. So the only one left of those, of the four of them, was the Phillips girl. She's now in her 70s. She was on there. So basically they had archival footage, and then they interviewed them if they were alive, and then they even tried to do a recreation and have them come in the studio. So they were doing In My Room by the Beach Boys, which is one of my favorite songs, and they had Brian Wilson come in and like talk about a walking zombie. His brain has been fried. I mean, I adore him, absolutely adore him, but it was embarrassing to see him come into the studio. Yeah. I mean, and David Crosby interviewed him, and McGuire from the Birds, a whole bunch of great, great footage. But anyway, the reason I'm even bringing it up now is that they did a track where they had Clapton come in. Now, this was recorded in 2018, so it's only 2 years ago. And they had a track where they had Clapton solo on it. And it was supposed to be a call and response with Stephen Stills. And Stephen Stills was in the control room, and Clapton was in the recording room. And they were supposed to be trading off. And I don't know if there was a miscommunication, and Clapton didn't get the point that he was supposed to leave space for Stills, or Stills just gave up. But it was like, if it was a cutting contest, Stills, then they show Stills taking off his guitar and handing it to somebody, just kind of giving up, surrender.
Wow.
Because Clapton, it was the way it was cut. I don't know if that's the way it happened, if they took footage and cut it that way, but it looked like that's what happened. So Stills is no slouch of a guitar player.
No.
He's an amazing guitar player. But, you know, being as Clapton is my number one guy, I would say that Clapton's going to beat him. But that's just because Clapton is my man.
From the Cradle, man. It's my favorite Clapton album.
Me too. Me too. Love it. Phenomenal. I saw that in Japan with my Japanese girlfriend at the time. And, yeah, good memories. You just took me back to that. And I remember, so Japanese audiences are so polite in between songs. It's like a dead silence. And do a song, you get polite applause. And then he's not one for really any work in the audience. And he had a whole band with him. You know, he had backup singers and harmonica player and horns and everything. And they're waiting between songs. And once there was dead silence in the auditorium, and somebody screams out, "Kami-sama!" which in Japanese means God. You know, because Clapton is God. That's one of my memories, you know.
That's great.
Somebody had painted, "Hey, I was born in Indiana and live in South Dakota. No wonder I'm a fan."
Hoosiers. I didn't know Jeff was a
Hoosier. You were born in Indiana? I did not know that, Jeff.
My man.
I did not know that. Huh. New things that I'm learning about you, buddy.
That's why he's so solid, Tim.
He is solid, solid, solid.
That's all we do here, bro.
I didn't know Gordon Haywood is from Indiana.
Oh, I know Warsaw.
Did not get caught up with the latest basketball news. Warsaw, he said. Is Warsaw, Indiana, I guess. Usually I log in Celtics news, and there has been a lot of movement. Hayward wanted to go to Indiana. And he's got a contract that he could have opted in for one more year. And the Celtics were trying to trade with you guys, the Pacers, and trade him. But they wanted back Oladipo, a big ask. And they wanted
Miles Turner.
Miles Turner. No, they wanted to send Miles Turner. They didn't want Turner. Who's another young, a little smaller guy? Not Oladipo, but another guy they wanted.
We don't have much else.
Anyway, I was reading it today, and that fell through. they were going to sign him for about a four-year contract for $102-105 million, and they wanted to get Miles. They didn't want Miles Turner, and I don't think Bird ain't going to give up Oladipo. That would be the stupidest move. He's smarter than that.
Oladipo's gone, man. He's going to leave. I think he'll leave.
Well, maybe they would have given him up, but Charlotte came in and offered $120 million, which everybody's saying it's the worst deal ever, because not only do they have to pay him $120 million, he's now 30 years old, and he's had a huge history of injuries. Mm-hmm. He's a great player, but he hasn't been at top notch for a long, long time. And on top of that, they had to buy somebody out, which is a $9 million a year payout for the next 4 years. So the whole thing's costing them $147 million between the buyout and what they're paying. They're paying Hayward. So Hayward, he was an all-star but one time, but so many injury issues, so many. I'm kind of glad we don't have him.
Takes its toll.
You know, so.
Well, he could have came to Indiana for a year and then left like all the other good players.
He signed a four-year contract. He's 4 years in Charlotte now. 4 years. He'll be 34. I mean, like Al Horford was our big guy, and everybody complained when Al left. He went down to Philadelphia and signed a four-year mega contract. Boy, that was a great idea. Gordon was smiling. Yeah, I believe he was smiling. Big money, $120 million. I mean, that's a bigger contract than he got when the Celtics signed him, and people thought they overpaid him. So, I don't know. Jeff Teague, yeah. We got Jeff Teague. I'm excited about that. We got Jeff Teague, and we also got Tristan Thompson, who used to kill us when he was with the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
We got him. They say he doesn't have a three ball, but last year his three percentage wasn't that bad. So I'm really excited about those two additions. And we got the best shooter in the draft. What's his name? He's from Vanderbilt. So, you know. What if he can become like a Tyler Hero? That Tyler Hero guy was off the hook. And we lost him because of a coin toss.
In the playoffs.
He was in the playoffs. He was all, it's something else. And we lost him. We had tied the same record as Miami. And Teague played. Yeah, he was with the Wolves, wasn't he? Yeah, he came from the Wolves. Or his contract was up. And Teague's good. Teague's good. So it'll be interesting. We got 47 minutes. I guess we can call it a day.
I'll figure out that app.
Try to go live briefly this week before next week. Let's try to. Why don't you try mess around with that and see if you can get that to work with streaming on your thing? And then
I will.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for watching. Please leave us any comments, whether you watch now or in the replay. And we're going to try to continue to be consistent on Tuesday nights. And we're going to be on YouTube, and we're going to be on Instagram, we hope, but some other platforms. So we'll see you next time.
Till next time. Peace.
Yeah.